Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during August evenings. Before you head out, grab a folding chair or one of those reclining loungers so that you can lean back and look up without getting a sore neck. Take a long sleeve shirt or a light blanket, too, in case it gets cool. And find a spot that's far away from bright lights with a clear view all around the horizon. If you've got an unobstructed view toward the west, you've got a good chance to spot the elusive innermost planet, Mercury. Mercury can be a little tricky to spot, so first note exactly where the sun sets. Wait about a half hour for the sky to darken, then look to the upper left of where the sun went down. You should see two stars glowing in the twilight along a diagonal line, separated by about twice the width of your fist held at arm's length. The star to the upper left is the planet Saturn, and the one at lower right is Mercury. Now, Mercury actually outshines Saturn, but you'll have a harder time spotting it because it's in a brighter patch of twilight sky. Mercury never appears very far from the sun, so if you don't spot it within an hour of sunset, you'd be better off trying again some other night. The sky has to be really clear, not too hazy, to spot this fleet-footed planet. From night to night, Mercury and Saturn edge a little closer to one another. From the 15th to the 17th, the two are stacked about 3 degrees apart with dimmer Saturn on top. After that, both planets will be tough to spot as they sink lower into the twilight murk. Let's take in a few more early evening sky sights. First, turn to your right past the sunset point so that you're facing roughly north. Once it starts to get really dark, you'll see the Big Dipper hanging from its handle about halfway up in the sky. At the end of the handle are four stars forming its bowl. You'll find that your fist just covers the bowl. Now draw an imaginary line through the bottom pair of stars and follow that line toward the upper right past the lip of the bowl by about three fists until you reach a medium bright star. That's the North Star, called Polaris, and you're now looking due north. Okay, go back to the Dipper, and this time follow the arc of its handle up and to the left until, three fists away, you come to a bright star. That's called Arcturus, and it's the alpha star in the constellation Bootes, the herdsman. Now slide your gaze down and a bit left toward the southwest horizon, and you'll spot the blue-white star Spica in the constellation Virgo, the maiden. Look further to the left and a bit higher up. By now it should be dark enough to see a medium bright star above the southern horizon. That's Antares, the heart of the constellation Scorpius. Antares means the rival of Mars, and you should be able to notice that this star isn't white like Spica, but slightly reddish. Antares is about one-third as bright as Arcturus, but it'll look fainter than that because it's low down in the sky and its light is dimmed while passing through all the haze in the atmosphere down there. For those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, the closer we live to the equator, the higher up you'll see the Scorpion in the sky. Those of you in southern states like Texas and Florida have much better views than I do way up here in Massachusetts. Now, shift your gaze to the left of Antares by a bit more than two fists. You're looking for a group of eight medium bright stars in the shape of a teapot. The handle is on the left and the spout, tipped down a little bit, is on the right. Got it? The whole thing is about the size of your fist. From northern states and Europe, the teapot is only a fist or two above the southern horizon, so it helps if you look from a spot with a clear, unobstructed view toward the south. Now, when astronomers carved up the sky, they didn't call this the teapot constellation. Instead, you found the main stars of the constellation Sagittarius, the Archer, and you're looking toward the center of our home galaxy. If you're lucky enough to live where the sky is really dark, or if you happen to be on vacation in a rural setting, you'll see puffs of steam coming from the spout of the teapot. Those puffs are the countless stars of the Milky Way, which continue upward until they arch overhead and clear across the summer sky. And if you're unlucky enough to live where light pollution is rampant, which is most of us, frankly, you can't see the Milky Way at all. In fact, ask yourself, have you ever seen the Milky Way in all its glory? If not, you really owe it to yourself to get under a clear, deep black sky this time of year to see all those stars streaming across the sky like a great river of light. It's a sight you won't soon forget. Celestially speaking, August is well known as the month to watch for the shooting stars from the Perseid meteor shower. Now, you can spot meteors every night, but during a meteor shower, you'll typically see more of them than normal because Earth is crossing the orbit of a comet and plowing through a cloud of particles shed by that comet all along its orbit. This month's shower is called the Perseids because even though the meteors will be zipping everywhere across the sky, they'll all seem to radiate from the constellation Perseus. This year, the Perseids will be at their peak around midday on August 12th here in North America. That means you'll stand an equally good chance of seeing meteors on the nights of the 11th or the 12th. Whichever you choose, the later you stay up, the more meteors you should see. Start looking around 10 or 11 p.m. after Perseus has risen in the northeast. The waning moon is nearly at last quarter when the Perseids are making their annual appearance, which means it'll be rising and brightening the sky not long after the meteors start popping into view. Even so, the Perseids are a pretty dependable shower, so you should be able to spot at least the very brightest ones. Since you're already out that late, look for dazzlingly bright Jupiter low in the east. On August 14th, Jupiter is at opposition, meaning it appears opposite the Sun in the sky. Jupiter rises as the Sun sets and vice versa, outshining all the other stars throughout the night. Speaking of the Moon, it's full on August 5th. That night, a little past 8:30 Eastern Time, it'll be skirting through the outer fringes of Earth's shadow in space, creating what's called a penumbral eclipse. But don't drop everything to see it, because this eclipse will be barely detectable. For more information about this so-so eclipse, the Perseids, and all kinds of stargazing, head to skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll go exploring in and around the summer triangle. Until then, I wish you clear skies.